Hi everyone, it's so good to be with you again today. You may recall if you were around in March of last year that I informed you that our funds, our church funds, were running low and that we were in a position where we were going to have to review our staff costs. And this would mean that there would be potential cuts to our pastoral staff hours or possibly even redundancies. Now, during 2021, we managed to hold off any decisions about staff redundancies or reductions in hours. Duty has seen an increase in giving after that talk in March last year, and we just want to thank you guys for that. And also at that time, back in March, we lowered some of our overheads, such as hall hire, our Sunday service costs, and our accountancy fees. And this allowed us to somewhat steady the ship, but then COVID arrived, sorry, and our expenditure actually decreased again because we didn't have a venue hire and we didn't have the same costs on a Sunday morning. So again, this bought us some time and having to face the decision around our staff costs. In the first half of this year, however, we have seen a reduction in our giving. And looking ahead as we recommence Sunday gatherings, we are expecting that our costs are going to increase again. So we kind of have the opposite scenario as we did in March of last year. Now, in light of this, based on our current level of income compared to our expenditure, we've got some crucial decisions to make about our staffing costs over the next 2 months. I guess the bottom line of this is that we cannot continue to support three paid pastors. Now, currently, Lorraine and I and Kenny are paid by the church, and we also employ Ash Gregg as our administrator. Now, Ash is on maternity leave right now, so we have Tasha Smith doing that admin role as maternity cover for Ash. However, we have made a decision that the admin role will continue as is. And a lot of the thinking behind that is that if we do reduce our pastoral staff hours, then we're going to need our admin role more than we've ever done before. So the bottom line is this: as things stand, we can afford to retain one full-time pastor's salary plus the cost of the administrator's role. Now, we have a few options to consider in this process. So three potential scenarios are this. One is that we rip the plaster off, we make two of our pastoral staff redundant, and we retain one full-time paid role. Another option is that we reduce the number of hours across all the pastoral team, meaning that we have the equivalent of one full-time role across the three pastors. Or option three is that we have no paid pastoral staff at all. So at the moment, for Kenny and for Lorraine and I, we are all pursuing alternative employment for two reasons. One, to help ease the financial burden on the church, but also we need to earn a wage to continue to live. But there's one thing that is really important that I'd like you to know here. Lorraine and I don't lead this church because we are paid. We planted and we led Falkirk Vineyard long before we were on the payroll, and we will continue on our God calling to lead this church if and when we are no longer in a paid position. So if you are part of our church family, over the next day or two, you're going to receive a letter from our trustees, and that letter will summarize what I've just spoken to you about just now. But also, in there will be an invitation to review your current level of giving. Now, what I've just delivered here may be unexpected news for many of you, and I'm sure there'll be many different reactions and responses to what I've just shared. For Lorraine and I, and also for Kenny and Sandra, this has been, shall we say, an interesting few weeks as we have navigated what this will mean for us. But guys, we are looking to God for direction and what to do next. And as we consider what it means for us, particularly financially and also personally, we know that God is in this. As well as leading the church through these changes, we have mortgages and bills to pay. And these are real challenges, and none of us are exempt from the feelings of anxiety and confusion about what lies ahead of us. However, there is no doubt in our minds that God is in all of this. Our world has faced the most divisive and destabilizing season, certainly in my lifetime. And as we move now further away from what was our old normal, I guess, pre-COVID, towards our new normal, as we come out of the restrictions that we've been under, God is repositioning us to be the church community that He always intended us to be. So in these times of change, and in these times maybe of confusion or instability, I believe that in this, God is repositioning us, Falkirk Vineyard, to be the church community that He always intended us to be. You see, the circumstances and the situation that we find ourselves in right now, including our financial situation, I believe that these are an opportunity for each one of us to turn away from our own expectations of what church should be and immerse ourselves in Jesus and be the church that He is building. We have an opportunity to move further away from being a consumer of church to being contributors in and for the church. That we can develop an attitude that says, what can I do, rather than what can I get? Now, we regularly hear the church referred to as a community, don't we? And in Acts chapter 2, we have the description of what this early church community was, and I believe what the church community today should be also. In these verses, that we're just going to read them in a moment, I'm going to read a few verses from Acts 2, but in these verses that we're just about to read, there is a foundation of community laid out in the very words in this text. In the passage that we're going to read, the word all, they, or all the believers, so these plural words of people being together, is mentioned 7 times over the 5 verses. And also the word fellowship, or met, or together, these words are mentioned 4 times, and the word share is also mentioned 4 times. The church, or one of the foundations of the Church of Jesus Christ, is community, of being together. So let's read the passage, Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and it says this: All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to fellowship, and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything that they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshipped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and they shared meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. As I've been digging into who this first church were over the past, don't know how many weeks now I've been looking at this, but what I've realised is that we, as Falkirk Vineyard, we are not enough like the early church. Now, that is not a critique. That is my honest conclusion when I place Falkirk Vineyard side by side with the church in Acts. But rather than be despondent or disappointed, I find all this really, really exciting. Think of all the amazing things that our church community has done and is doing. The people we have fed, I mean literally fed, but also spiritually fed. the generosity we've seen in terms of people's time and money and service, our amazing times of worship and communion and prayer together, the lives that we've seen God transform, the healings, the baptisms, the favour that we've had from Falkirk Council and other external organisations as we've sought to help those in greatest need in our town, and kindness. Guys, the kindness that I have received and that I've observed, so much kindness and thoughtfulness that I have never seen before, like I've seen in our church. And I love all of this. It is truly amazing what God has done in us and how he has used us to bless others with his love. But what's exciting about looking at our church, Falkirk Vineyard, and placing it beside the church in Acts is that even with all that stuff that we have seen God do, there is so much more. And we know this because the concluding line in our passage today states this, that each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Each day, people turning to Jesus on a daily basis. Now, I just want you to take a moment to think about that. Think about our old normal. Think about what church was before the pandemic. But now imagine if our new normal was that. Our new normal was that God was adding to our fellowship those who were being saved on a daily basis. That people were surrendering their lives to Jesus and being added to our lives, to our church, to our community, every single day. Even if one person, was added to our church every day, our church would change dramatically and quickly. Because that would mean that 7 people would be saved this week and brought into our family. That would mean 7 baptisms this week. And that would mean our Sunday gathering next week would be dominated by 7 new stories of how Jesus has created new life in our community. And imagine our worship. Imagine as we cry out to thank God for what he has done just in the past week. And imagine our expectation. 7 this week, God, how many are you going to bring in next week? And imagine 1 month from now, when it's 30 new lives welcomed into the kingdom of God. And imagine 1 year from now, when it's 365 new lives welcomed into the church. Falkirk Vineyard will be over 4 times the size that it is now. Imagine if that was the new normal that God has in store for us. I'm really excited about this. And the reason I'm excited about it is that this is what God has already done before. This is how he designed the church from when Jesus ascended and the Holy Spirit was unleashed on the disciples and the apostles and the believers. This is what the church looked like. This is how it was designed, and I'm excited about this. And if you are excited about this, I'd love you to tell me. Write something in the online chat if you're watching a church online, or put a comment on YouTube or Facebook. Send a message to your small group chat saying, yes, I'm up for this. Because didn't Jesus say, I will build my church and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. In that verse where Jesus says he will build his church, the word build there in the Greek is a word that I think is pronounced okodomio. And this word means to build, so we know that, but it also means, as well as to build, it means to repair, to embellish, and to amplify a building. Jesus isn't just building his church. Jesus is tending to his church. He is maintaining to his church. But also he is embellishing the church. Jesus wants us to be more beautiful and eye-catching to those that view his church. Jesus wants to amplify his church. Jesus wants you to be heard. His heart is to increase your influence for him in your context, in your home, in your neighbourhood, in your workplace, or even in your leisure or social settings. Jesus said this, he said it to us, you, my church, my disciples, my followers, you are the light of the world. Wow. Jesus has made us the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop, it cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. So in light of that, there are two things I'd like to leave you with and to think about today and to think about sort of going forward. First thing is, how can I be a light bearer for Jesus? And secondly, and we probably won't get into this entirely today, so we'll come back to it next week, but what is the fellowship that God is adding to? So how can I be a light bearer for Jesus, and what is this, or what is the fellowship that God is adding to? Now, we're not going to be able to answer these questions definitively today, and I don't expect us to land on a definitive answer from one sermon. But what I would like you to do is kind of dismantle your own perception or expectations of what or who the church is. The difficulty we have when we talk about church is that the word church means different things to different people. So what is the church? Is it somewhere that you go? Is it an organisation that you're a member of? Is it somewhere that you go to gather with other believers? Is it something you go to or something you do amongst all the other stuff in your life? Is it something you do when you're not busy doing something else? Or is it something, is it like an external kind of thing? Is it like something that you talk about, like the church should be doing this or the church should be involved in that? And when you say the church, who are you referring to? Or do you consider that you are the church? The other week I was chatting to someone and they were asking about my role as a pastor and what the church is about, all that kind of stuff. And then in the conversation they asked me the question, they said, so where is your church? Where is your church? Now it was obvious that the question that they were asking me meant, where does your church meet, or where is your church building? So I kind of started to answer that question and the conversation continued. But from that point on, I could hear God in my ear. And he's saying to me, yeah, Andrew, where is your church? So over the next few days, I began to ponder just that question. Now, guys, I love to ponder. I love to have my thoughts and opinions challenged, and I like to challenge other thoughts and opinions and then go away and reflect and weigh things up. And I try to keep my mind as much as I can in a posture where I'm open to changing my mind. And the reason I do this is because a lot of questions are grey. They don't have black and white answers. So, for example, if I was to get a flip chart out and ask you all the question, what is the church? We would fill the page, I'm sure, with a whole load of different answers and responses. So let me throw out this as an answer, potentially, to what is the church. And my answer would be this, that you are the church. You are the church, I am the church, and we together are the church. And if you are the church, and I am the church, where is the church? Now, logically, I would suggest that wherever you are, and wherever I am, that is where the church is. See, the church isn't something that the church isn't something you're sometimes at, and the church isn't people you're sometimes with. I mean, are we the church when we're gathered together, but are not the church when the service ends? Of course not, we know that. So where is the church? Well, I think the church is, it's all over the place. At the moment, the church is in my home, it's in your home, and it's in their home. And tomorrow the church will still be in our homes, but it'll also be in your workplace or in the coffee shop where you're meeting a friend. The church is at the gym when you're at the gym. The church is you walking your dog. The church is you raising your children. The church is you talking to your next door neighbour. And it is in these kind of examples, our everyday living and breathing, our interactions with others, and our conversations where Jesus is calling us to be light bearers. And in those moments, we choose whether to shine or to hide our light under a bushel. Now, if we are being obedient to Jesus, or as Acts 2 puts it, if we are devoted to the apostles' teaching, we will always choose to shine. Now, before the guilt starts kicking in, because it shouldn't, let's acknowledge that we're all in the same boat here. I've known Jesus pretty much all my life. My parents are Christian and I've always gone to church. But I spent pretty much all of my school days and my teenage years hiding my light under a bushel. And if I'm being honest, I've spent a large chunk of my life not shining. But today is a new day. And what is important is what you do from this point forward. And you know, I just sense this as I'm saying that, I just feel like in my heart there, I just feel like I need to ask for forgiveness for what I've just shared. So I'd like to do that now. And I just want to pray. I just want to pray just for about what I've just said there about my own life. And maybe you could take this prayer for yourself if you feel it's relevant. So Father, I just want to ask that you will forgive me for hiding my light. I confess that I've consciously chosen to hide you from others. And today I want to repent. I'm done with bushels and baskets and buckets and lampshades. Jesus, I want your light to shine from me. I want you to shine in my words. I want you to shine in my behaviours, in my actions, and even in my attitudes. I want you to be seen in my life. I want to introduce you to people and see your love pouring in and out of their lives. And God, I ask, will you add to my fellowship, to my neighbourhood, to my workplace, and to Falkirk Vineyard those who are being saved? Amen. In the early church of Acts 2, the church was everywhere. God never stopped working. We sing that all the time, don't we? God never stopped working. People were being saved on a daily basis. And I think that we saw God at work because the church never stopped working. This church in Acts 2, this church was shining. The church was witnessing and sharing their God-transformed lives with everyone they met and knew. They were sharing their experiences with each other. And as they were hanging out in each other's homes or bumping into other church folk during the day, I picture these believers enthusiastically sharing stories of what God did yesterday and what he's going to do or what he's doing today and what they believe he's going to do tomorrow. And as I was considering this, God gave me a picture of Falkirk Vineyard. And it's just a picture of us gathering on a Sunday somewhere. And our conversations are just like that I've described. Sharing our God stories from that week. Of how in a conversation that week, you're telling someone at church on a Sunday how you've shared what Jesus has done in your life. And you've prayed with them. And you've introduced them to Jesus. And I see others bringing the friends that they've introduced to Jesus that week. And we all celebrate together. And as the service starts, I see one person after another taking the mic, telling story after story of the amazing things that they have seen Jesus do that week. And then we worship and we sing our hearts out to God in a new way because of what he's doing in these days. And we leave filled up and encouraged and emboldened, full of faith that what God did last week, he'll do again and even more. this week. So what is your God story from last week? What did you see God doing in these past few days? And what are you hopeful for this week? I would love to know. And it would be great to hear your stories of what God is doing in your life. So why not come on the Zoom call today and tell us? Come on and shine for Jesus. Come and encourage others. Come and be encouraged. And let's look ahead to this new normal that God is calling us into. Because you're here to be light, to bring out the God colours in the world. God is not a secret for you to keep. We are going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, Jesus said, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. And now that I've put you there, on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. And every day, God will add to our fellowship those who are being saved.